My family, the role, would you guys like to stand? These are my children, and then I have my best friend stand right after. Sarah is my oldest. Christian is my next oldest. Then I have Jesse. My oldest daughter, Rebecca, is not here. My grandchildren, Quintera and Sierra. And those are my loves right there. They came to support me. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to, I want to minister in music first if I can. The track is number 3. If you go any higher, I'll be squeaking. I won't be able to sing it. I would like to say, though, giving God honor first. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who have made me who I am and what I am today. The song that I'm going to minister to you is My Lifeline. When I heard it, I knew it was me. It's by C.C. Winans, and I just want to go ahead and minister that to you all. Pray that my voice, I know I can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah to the King. Okay, thank you. Hallelujah. I was just a child when I felt the Savior leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. But for the call of Christ, I had spent my days believing that what He'd have me be is who I am. When I come to see the weaker side of me, I realize His grace is what I'll need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said, no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. His mercy said no. Oh, yeah, yes. God so loved the world that He sent His Son to save us. From the cross He built a bridge to set us free. Oh, but in our hearts there is still a storm that rages, that makes the sacrifice so hard to see. Oh, but when midnight fell on crucifixion day, the light of hope seemed all so far away. When evil tried to stop redemption, His mercy said, no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said, no, sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. His mercy said no. And now when heaven looks at me, it's through the blood of Jesus, reminding me of one day long ago. It's all for Jesus. It's all for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One thing I do when I minister, I truly minister. And it's definitely not for applause because it's all for His glory. Hallelujah. I just want to share a little bit with you all about my testimony. I brought my children here and I told them this morning, I said, listen, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to fillet me. What I speak is truly from my heart. Let the Spirit of the Lord just take control. So if you see Mama in a little different light, that's okay, because it's Jesus and not my flesh. So hallelujah. I wanted to say that I was born November the 16th, 1950. And surrounding my birth, there was a lot of controversy. My mother got raped, and I was the result of that rape. And growing up, underneath that, she did the best she could. She was only 16 years old, and it was tough for her. And I didn't always feel like I got the love and understanding that a child think they deserve. And I have a brother, and she's crazy about him. Now, not that she's not crazy about me either, but it's just that when you're growing up in her home and there is a division, it can sometimes make one child feel indifferent more than the other. And that's really okay because mercy said, no, I'm not gonna let you go. And I knew as a child early on that there was something very different about my life. And I always knew that God was gonna use me, but I never knew how. And I'll tell you, growing up, my mom and my dad worked for Boeing Aircraft in Cessna, Boeing Aircraft in Wichita, Kansas, and then he moved on to Cessna. And so we were always raised up in predominantly white neighborhoods. And so that had an effect because in the years that I grew up, there was a lot of racism. And so my first encounter with this racism was when I was in, I think, maybe the fourth or fifth grade, and I met a boy named Terry Murphy. And Terry was just the cutest thing. He had blue eyes and ruby red lips, and I tell you, that boy was just adorable to me. I tell you, when we'd go in the cafeteria, we'd sit down and we'd eat, and I'll tell you, he would say things to me and I'd say things to him. And you know, when you're young and you're really young and ooey gooey and everything is so cool, you know, and so Terry said to me, he said, Vicki, would you be my girlfriend? And I said, oh, yeah, I'll be your girlfriend. Really, me, Terry? He said, yeah. So he said, I want you to meet my mom. So the next day at lunchtime, he told his mother about me. And she said, well, you bring her over to the house. So after lunch and after school was out, we took hold of hands and we were walking and people were like, oh, we don't think that should be happening here. But we never paid any attention because being children, we never knew that there was a difference. The neighborhood began to change. The neighborhood that Terry lived in was a lot different than the neighborhood I was raised up in, and I began to get a little uncomfortable. I said, Terry, do you live here? And he says, yeah. He says, I do. No big deal. Come on, Vicki. So we get to the house, and I mean, it was a house. And he rang the doorbell and his mother came to the door. And I said, hello. And she said, hi. She said, he said, Mom, this is Vicky. And she said, Vicky, well, nice to meet you, but Terry, I need to talk to you in the house for a moment. And Vicky, could you stand out here? And I said, sure. Inside my heart, I already knew that there was something going on that was not working in my favor. So Terry came back out and his face was flushed and he said, Vicky, I can't have you over, but I can walk you partway back home. And I said, okay, Terry. So we walked partway back home and he said, okay, see ya. And I said, okay, I'll see you at school. And he says, okay. And he turned around, he walked away and I walked that other way. I turned around, he turned around, we both waved and we went on. I waited for 3 days at school for Terry to show up and he never showed up. He had allergies, severe allergies to food, and his mom always packed his lunch very different than the food everybody else ate. So I know that this is seemingly kind of drawn out, but just hear me out. I'm going somewhere with this. So eventually, Terry came to school and he said, I am so sorry, he said, but I can't go be girlfriends, boyfriends with colored people. And that pierced my heart. And with the rejection I was already suffering, that just really made things worse. Then I met a guy named Billy Burzee in junior high. Billy was a blonde-haired, green-eyed guy. Don't ask me why I always go that way, but you know, that's the way it was. And he lived in a place called Big Brothers at the time. Big Brothers was a place where wayward children lived that didn't have parents. And Billy would talk to me at lunchtime and he said, you know, when I talk to you, Vicky, my life seems so nice. I just can't understand it. And I said, neither can I, Billy, but you know, that's just the way it is. Billy left. Again, I was wounded in my heart because it seemed to be the people that I was most close to always went away. Shortly after that, we moved to Wichita and I was going to school to a predominantly black school, which was very different for me because I was raised up. I think there were maybe four or five black people in the whole school, from grade school all the way up to junior high. And I was petrified in the school with all black people. I'd heard all these things about black people this, all these things about black people that. And I was just petrified. And I had really long hair in those days. I mean long. And my mother never let me wear things that kind of fit kind of cute. She always put me in these balloon dresses that, you know, nobody wanted to, you know, see anything. You know, it was cool, but, you know. And I always braided my hair, and she had it in two braids going down both sides. And I looked so different from all the kids I went to school with. Shortly after that, I found a friend and I wound up getting raped. As a result of that rape, I had a child. My child, my oldest daughter Rebecca, is not here, and I'm glad she isn't because it makes it easier for me to allow the Holy Spirit to fillet me so that I can really give out my best. Again, I was wounded. My father sodomized me. Again, I was wounded. I decided I couldn't trust anybody for any reason whatsoever. But mercy said no. I began to study and read the Word of God. And I had a friend that introduced me to Jesus. And I began to study and God began to deal with my heart. After that, I never got healed up from that, and I married because I didn't want to stay home. So young people, hallelujah to the King, stay faithful to Jesus, please, because he knows what's best for your life. I married to get out of the house because I was going through so much, and I had a child. And when you go to the church and everybody's saying, I know what she, you know, but it was never like that. But still, you deal with the persecution. And my mother always thinking that I was just old enough to get caught. But what mother didn't understand, I was taken advantage of. Never could get that across to her in those days. So eventually, those things that had happened to me really went down deep, and I didn't know how to get them up. I would read the word, confess the word, but the word was not penetrating those places in my heart because then I didn't know how to be a wife. I was timid, rigid, don't touch me, but
praise the Lord, I got 1, 2, 3, 4 kids.
So something must have happened. But praise the Lord. I married Edward, divorced Edward. Problems, severe problems. Married Durrell, divorced Durrell. Durrell was a pimp, so I went from bad to worse. And he really did put young girls on the street, wounded again. Then I married Reuben. Reuben took the rag off the bush for all times. But again, when you're wounded and you're not seeking God and allowing him to really trust you, because I wanted to do everything on my own, headstrong, didn't want to listen. But God said mercy, said no. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you slip away. So what happened was, when I married Reuben, I met him in the church, in a home group, cell group, whatever you want to call it. And he was the one that really grew me up of all the situations that I had been through, because Reuben's mother was a witch, a serious witch. And people, if we think that this is not real, believe me, it is.
Amen.
It is. Amen. I can't say that Reuben was a warlock, but the evidence certainly did indicate that he was. When your children, when you take them to the circus and your kids are afraid of clowns, listen. Reuben was a clown, and he would get in his makeup. And he put his makeup on, and even in the early days, I began to see the soul through his eyes, and it was not right. I knew it wasn't right. I said, oh, God, something is very, very, very wrong. And he'd put on the makeup, and then he'd go, and he'd deal with the children. Well, you know, when you pray in the Spirit, and this is it, the Spirit of the Lord will reveal things that you never thought possible. And that is the reason why I respect this man of God, because he labors in the Spirit before he starts his service. That reveals so much and gets rid of so much, people, we can't even begin to have a clue. As I begin to learn how to pray in the Spirit and had friends standing in intercession for me, then I began to learn how to combat the war that was raging in my home. Reuben was a pedophile, found out later on, loved kids in the wrong way. So I said, oh God, how do I deal with this? How am I going to, I really did it this time. But if everybody can see this ball, it's green and it has a black mesh around it. When you pray in the Spirit, it is vitally important, because what happens is you apply pressure. And when you apply pressure, things are revealed. They are revealed. Sometimes they're good things. Sometimes they're bad things. And this is what happened. And when you can see this, then you can see each place is different. Each place, and each place can represent problems in your home. Whether your kids are strung out on drugs, whether you're a grandmother that's taking care of your daughter or your son's children, whether you yourself are strung out on drugs, whether you can't pay the rent next month, when you pray in tongues, the Spirit of the Lord prays for you in ways you don't understand. Now, suppose your pastor wants to purchase some land, and he's all excited about the land that he wants to purchase. Not that he can't pray for himself, but my God, the church is here to pray for him. So when you pray, you might pray a prayer like this. Father, I just thank you for Pastor Dan. I thank you, Father God, that this land that he wants to purchase is good land. I thank you, Father. I just bless you for allowing him to find this land. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's a great prayer, but hey, there's a whole lot more that needs to be prayed out than the simple prayers we're so used to praying. So when you pray in the spirit, then the spirit of the Lord knows how to pray for him in ways he didn't even understand, and we don't understand. But the spirit of the Lord prays out the Father's will, not our will. So as you do that, then maybe Pastor Dan, you know, you call him up and you say, well, you know, Pastor Dan, I was praying and I just don't feel good in my spirit about something. And then Pastor Dan will continue to pray and say, you know, I'm glad you said that because it drew my attention back because he's not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We all need each other. So he wants to purchase the land. Now all of a sudden he finds out through praying and intercession and the people in the church praying and backing him up that the land was a landfill. Trash, sewage, they put sod right on top of it and it looked good. And it looked like it was what he needed to build on, but it wasn't. Or suppose it was, graveyard. Nobody wants to build on top of a graveyard. But these are things that we learn through intercession, which brings me back to the situation with Reuben. When I found out the trouble that he was in, being married to him, I thought, well, he's my husband, and by gosh, I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray deliverance for him. I'm going to stick with him. I don't care what anybody else has to say. I'm going to stay on my face before God, and I'm going to pray him through. So one night I backed him up in the kitchen, and I said, Reuben, you know you have demons, don't you? He just looked at me. I said, babe, if you want to get free, you've got to renounce them. They've got to come out, and I know that you will be whole if you just allow the Spirit of the Lord to purge you. Repent. Get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. So I said, do you want that? I wasn't prepared for what I saw. He began to contort and twist. You think Michael Jackson's Thriller was something? Didn't touch it, believe me. Didn't touch it. He puffed up. His fingers got so big, it's like, you know, the biggest Polish sausage that you can buy after you've overboiled it. Split, horrible. He was horrifying. I almost got afraid, and the Spirit of the Lord said, oh, no, don't fear, because if you fear, and I said, okay, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, and I prayed. Let me go back just a little bit. Keep that in mind. One night, it was Halloween night. I'm telling you, people, Halloween is not good. Things go on that night that you don't even have a clue. You cannot begin to understand the things that are going on that night, and we should not allow our kids to participate. I'm telling you what I know. I lived it. That night, I awoke three stories up in a house that I was living in at the time because my parents had put us out. Reuben was he was very good at what he did. He was a contractor. He built homes. He did all kinds of wonderful things. He was a very talented man in that way. But my mother wanted us out because she said it's becoming winter time and I want the rent paid. We weren't behind, but she put me, Sarah, Christian, out in the cold. And the pastor that I was underneath at that time, he said, Vicki Joanne, you can come here anytime and bring your kids, but Reuben can't come. So I decided, well, if my husband's not going to go, then I'm not separating my family, and we're going to all be together. That night, African couple told us we could come and stay with them. I'm kind of spinning around, but stay with me. living with them for a while, and that Halloween night I woke up, Reuben's mother had levitated from the ground floor to the third floor outside the window. I saw her, and again I was frightened, and the Spirit of the Lord said to me, pray in your tongues. Pray in your tongues. I prayed, and then I closed my eyes, and when I opened them, she was gone. So Yinka and Derry Shology were the people that we were living with at that time. And he said, Vicky, are you awake? Come downstairs. He said, is Reuben awake? And I said, no, he's not. Oh, Vicky, you've got to come downstairs, he said, right away. So I went downstairs. He said to me, something is very wrong with your husband. And you need to go, because the Spirit of the Lord woke me up and said, you have an intruder in your house. And I said, oh, I knew what that was because I'd seen her outside. So he said, the intruder is Reuben's mother. He said, I came out of my bedroom just as she was levitating up the steps in a long black robe. I said, oh my God, I know you saw that because I saw that outside the window. He said, what are you doing here? In the name of Jesus Christ, the bloodline is drawn. You must leave here in Jesus' name. She turned around and began to levitate down the steps. And so Yinka started to turn and go back in his bedroom. And the Spirit of the Lord said to him, go back. She's not finished. When he turned around, she had turned into a bear, ready to pounce on him. Now, I'm telling you people, this is real. I experienced it myself. We're not talking about Steven Spielberg here. This is reality. These are the things that we are sitting on our whiny hinies, letting the devil run rampant over our families when God has given us what we need in this word to combat the things that we need to combat. So as he did speak in the spirit, pray in the spirit, she did, poof, she went away. Now I had a decision to make after I saw that. Somehow or another, I had to get my family back. Now my children, they walked with me through this. Christian walked through with me and Sarah. Of course, my little Jesse wasn't here yet. But nevertheless, though, it happened. And I decided after that, okay, the shame, married three times, people, come on. Three strikes, you're out. And I didn't want to give it up. So Yinka put us out. Where did we go then, Sarah? City Union Mission. We lived at the City Union Mission because we had no place to go. Nobody would take us. I would not give up my husband. I thought that was the thing to do, so I drug my kids through all kinds of turmoil. Finally, we go back to his deliverance. The Lord delivered Reuben. He fell in my arms and hit the floor, and I'd never seen such beautiful green eyes in all of my life. He was back. But you know, the Word of God says, if you don't sweep the house clean, if you don't stay out of the mess, they'll come back seven times worse. And that's exactly what happened. So the Lord allowed me, at that moment, he said, you need to get out. It's over. I didn't want to turn loose, but I knew I got to go because I love my kids, I love myself. And we've got to do something. I've got to do something. So at the time, I wound up at LCC in Lenexa. And I told my pastor about some of the things that was going on. He said, we can get you some special counseling. He said, but I don't think we're equipped to handle this one. He said, but I'll tell you one thing, girl. You got grounds for divorce. He said, I'm not going to tell you to divorce, but you have grounds. He said, because if he is toying around children, Vicky, you need to go. My Sarah got married, praise the Lord, and I had these two beautiful granddaughters. And then little Jesse. Praise God. Christian was in the studying at Washington University at the time, so he got down. I know he was glad to go because he was so embarrassed and didn't want to deal with the things that were going on. Bless his heart, mama's baby. But the things that we went through were really very difficult. And Pastor Perky and First Lady Mary, they picked me up. And see, I'm going to tell you how good prayer and intercession is. Because praise God, those things were broken off of me as I continue to be in the house of God and learning the word of God and praying in my prayer language, broke off every chain that tried to bind me up. The church gave me a check every month for probably 12 years. It took that long for me to get back up on my feet because, see, I'm not educated. I don't have a high school diploma. And all I knew how to do was clean and cook. And I know my kids love that part. But truly, I didn't think that I had anything, but God took me out of the ashes. That's the reason why I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what kind of house you live in. It doesn't matter whether somebody drives better than you do. It doesn't matter. What matters is that God loves us all the same, and he will pick you up and turn you around, your life around, no matter what kind of things you face. We are all on the same playing field. Nobody is any better than anybody else. And that's what we need to remember. Now, as I get ready to close, Pastor Perky just went a few steps over the board. I met a man, and I thought, well, praise God, I've been waiting 12 years, bless God, and you know, oh, praise God, I'm gonna, oh, hallelujah to the King. The man saw me sing, saw me at prayer every Saturday night. Every Saturday night, I've been there for I don't know, 18 years because I prayed Christian through, like your son Adam, my Christian was in the Air Force. He was in the Air Force for 8 years. Your son was in the Marines and got deployed twice to Afghanistan. Praise God. I know your father prayed big for you, just as I have prayed, and for Jennifer, hallelujah to the King. And my kids as well. And God brought us through. But one night, this goes to show you how the devil will not. People, you have to understand, he's not going to leave you alone. So you need to always prepare yourself with the word, renewing your mind daily. Gentleman walks up and he says, oh, you know, praise God, sister, I've been watching you in the choir for blah, 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 and this and that and the other. And I said, oh, well, praise God. And I thought, oh, this is it. Praise God. Hallelujah to the King. I've been on my knees setting tables and bless God praying for my man to come. Oh, this one was a real doozy. So we had been dating for a while, and he asked me to marry him. Then I went straight to my pastor. And I said, Pastor, this is blah, blah, blah. This is such and such and such. And the pastor said, how long have you been coming here? And so he said, 5 years. Pastor said, really? He says, yeah. He said, I've never seen you before. He says, well, I've been here, Pastor. And he said, do you tithe? Man said, yes, I tithe. Yes, of course I do. He said, where are you taking Vicky? And he said, well, she goes where I go. Pastor said, no, you can't take her from here. She needs to stay here. He said, no, well, if she's going to be my wife, by God, she goes where I go. Oh, that sounded good. Hallelujah to the King. He's taken up for his girl. Then I begin to pray. And some things begin to be shaky in my mind. But still, because I'd waited 12 years, this has just got to be the one. Well, bless God, needless to say, what happened was, Pastor did a check. And First Lady called me. She said, sweetie, we need for you to come to the church. She said, are you still going to marry that man? And the man was sitting in my front room. I had prepared a meal, pork chops and gravy, mashed potatoes, cornbread dressing. I mean, I was going for it. And I got that phone call, and she said, sweetie, we need for you to come in. And, of course, I've been there for 18 years, and I knew the protocol. I knew, you know, all the pastors were gone on Thursdays, and I could come in. So I said, okay, I'll be there. And then the hair rose up on the back of my neck, and I said, have you done something that you haven't told me about? Sister, who was that on the phone? I said, never mind. I said, but you need to leave. He left reluctantly, begging all the way down the road. I said, oh, Lord God, what now? I get there the next day, and the first lady had Pastor Todd standing by. I said, oh, do we have to have a man in the room, please? I really don't want that to be. Just ladies. She said, no, honey, Pastor Todd needs to be here to support. They came out with a stack this thick of problems that this man had. Behavioral problems, taking therapy somewhere. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with bipolar. If you're bipolar, fine, you take your medicine. But he never told me. You know, he's diabetic, and never told me that. One eye was gone, he had a glass eye in. I mean, my God, the devil was trying to kill me. So I was just all so embarrassed. I said, Lord Jesus, and you know, and being one of the singers at the church for years, I said, oh, everybody's going to hear this, and I'm going to be the laughing stock. But the first lady hugged me, and she said, don't worry. And she allowed me to see that being under the covering of the church, hallelujah to the King, having people love me and take care of me and nurture me is why I'm here right now today. So what I want to tell you, no matter what situation you may find yourself in, the answer, like your pastor said, is in this book. Now, there is a scripture that I do want Robin to read for me, if you will, dear heart. It's found in Romans, the 8th chapter. If you would read 26 and 27, I would appreciate it. Now, is that not the truth? So we all have the key right here. So if there's anyone that wants to receive the baptism in the way that you pray to God, it's just a prayer to him. It's not hard. I remember when I first received it, I mean, I was straight out of the chute. I mean, the horses couldn't run faster. And I've always been very, very, very athletic. So let me tell you, I got it, and I got it quick. But it was because I understood that without this, I can only go so far. And we have to learn that we need to go further. It's really important, very important. So that really concludes my little talk this morning. And if your pastor wants to open the door for anyone that would like to receive this baptism, hallelujah to the King. Be glad to pray for anybody with his
assistance. Right. You stay assistance. Right here.
Hallelujah.
As I was sitting there listening to the testimony that Vicki was sharing too, I think one of the things the Lord made me aware of is it's a beautiful testimony of how any person who comes to Christ becomes a new creation. Mm-hmm. The old has passed away and the new has come. And I know almost all of you here very well and for a long time. Sometimes it's difficult, even the familiarity is difficult for people to come forth sometimes, but I believe what the Spirit showed me that some people here this morning had some things, some issues, some hurts, some buried mm-hmm. things that the Spirit of God touched on and said, I want to help you.
Hallelujah.
You understand, God never is in the business of embarrassing people.
Absolutely.
He's in the business of restoring
yes.
people and healing people
yes.
and helping people.
Yes.
Amen. So we are going to have an altar call. I'm going to ask Chris to come up. And if Craig, if you can get away or whatever, you can come down, whatever, and stand over here.
Hallelujah.
And anybody that needs to and wants to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we will pray for you. But I'm going to ask Sister Vicki to come and stand with us. Mm-hmm. And if she wants her friend to come up or anybody to come and stand
Absolutely.
With her for prayer, if anybody has any kind of an issue or a question or anything, mm-hmm. it's between you and the Lord. Mm-hmm. And let the Spirit of God minister through Sister Vicki. And you go to her and let her minister to you.
Mm-hmm.
And let's all just stand and just obey God. Hallelujah. You know, Sister Vicki, go on down, mm-hmm. and if you want Robin to help you or somebody to help you over there in prayer with people, I want anybody just to come down and let the Spirit of God direct you to whoever you want to pray for you. Chris and I will be standing over here. If you need to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we're here to help you with that. Otherwise, everybody else, just be in prayer right now for those who are coming to be ministered to.